Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But hold your calls. We have with us today Sarah Leslie, who, of course, schooling. But she's going to be talking today about the subject which is close to my heart, and I hope it's close to yours, too. And that is the attack on our, that's coming from the church growth movement and, of course, the man behind this, Mr. Peter Drucker. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about what you've been researching since we last talked?
Well, if I recall, last time we talked was in January, and I believe I was making some connections for your readers on the church transformation and the school transformation.
All right, and of course, this is the whole idea that they've come in with these new management techniques that come from Peter Drucker on how we're going to change corporations, how we're going to change our schools, how we're going to change our churches, and we're not going to church. We're going to use management and corporate skills in our churches and you to really transform the church. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me.
You're on a regular hardline telephone, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I was mentioning in January that we had stumbled on to a hidden person behind the scenes that we had never realized was one of the architects of education reform, and that man was the business guru who was named Peter Drucker.
All right, fine. And would you like to tell our listeners who Peter Drucker is? Some of them may not recognize the name.
Actually, Peter Drucker is sort of an American icon. He's 94 years old. He's been around forever. He's been in the United States since the 1940s, where he began reshaping the corporate world. Excuse me. He first went to General Motors, and he reinvented that corporation. Then he went on from there and began working on all sorts of other corporations in America, and he became very well known. He calls himself, everybody that's one of his followers call him a business guru, and they mean that in the Eastern mystical sense. But when he began to come on the radar screen for the rest of us, it's sometime during the decade of the 1970s, he began to shift gears quite noticeably, focusing his attention on the private sector. And that would be churches, education, social welfare, your health care, that kind of thing. And the reason he was doing that is because during the 1930s and 40s, he had come into this country with these concepts that he had borrowed from the German mystics. And what I mean by that is the Germans during the 1800s had come up with these ideas about man and the evolution of man and society and government and politics and things like that. And he originally envisioned the corporation as being an organism, like a living entity. And he thought the corporation could meet every human life need. Your need for food, your need for medicine, your need for any kind of social assistance, and your need for community.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Sarah Leslie. We're going to be talking about these foreign ideas, which have metastasized the United States and are influencing society today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Today we're going to be talking about some research into a man named Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker came to the United States and brought with him the ideas of a German 19th century named Hegel. And this idea, mystical idea, certainly corporations were not organizations. They were almost like mystical bodies, and everything could own them. And you could begin to change people, their attitudes and their values and beliefs, by the dialectic drawing what they believed in, and then getting to be willing to go along with a group, doing away with individual, adopting sort of a groupthink process. Would that be a fair appraisal, Sarah?
Yes, it really would be.
All right, go ahead.
Very accurate.
You pick up the story from there.
When he envisioned this corporation, like General Motors or any of the big IBM, any of the big corporate structures in America, and began trying to transform this, to create this entity that would meet every human need, he found that the Americans were quite resistant to this. We just didn't go along with the plan the way we were supposed to. What he ended up doing, actually, Deming, the father of total quality management, ended up going over to Japan, and he was wildly successful in implementing the same program in Japan, because Japan already had an esoteric foundation, that idea of human evolution. So they accepted that model, and they did turn their corporations into these entities that would meet all of your human life needs. But in America, it didn't work. So Peter Drucker switched gears, and he began focusing on the private sector, and he decided that he could transform the private sector so that it would meet all of your life needs.
And now, didn't he primarily go to General Motors, or start out at General Motors with corporate rams aimed at transforming that corporation?
Yes. His big theory, of course, was management by objective. And that is precisely what the purpose-driven church model is.
Because, of course, he took these ideas from corporate management into church management. And instead of course, using the Word of God as the basis for running a church, we would use these same techniques coming out of mysticism in Germany in the last century and then transformed into our corporate management here to bring into the church, to begin to transform the church. But you can only do that, Sarah, by transforming the individual church members. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest is Sarah Leslie. We're talking about these ideas that have permeated from a mystical Germany of the 19th century into corporate management here at General Motors and many of our other major corporations, where they spend so much time in their groups and talking. And really, it's aimed at not changing the management, it's aimed at changing the individual so they would go along with the new agenda of the corporation and work more efficiently. And then, of course, bringing these ideas into the church through something known as the church growth movement. So you pick up the story there, Sarah. How are we transforming the churches here? After all, the churches seem to be growing. They seem to be succeeding. What's wrong with success?
Well, how do you define success? I suppose that's the key question that you have to go back and ask. Because Peter Drucker, when he created this idea of management by objectives, he decided that we needed to define results and that we needed to define effectiveness. And of course, if you're talking about making widgets on a piece of machinery so that all the widgets come out being exactly, precisely the same size to the millionth of an inch without any problems, that's one thing. But he took his same ideas and he's now applied them to the church and to human lives and to human beings. And of course, we now know that he was one of the architects of America 2000 education reform, that he took the same ideas about corporations producing results and took these to the schools and said that the schools needed to produce results and that we would assess these results on little Joey and little Susie by using these assessment test methods.
Let me just point out for our listeners that if you watch television, you will very often see these advertisements, get your child into a preschool program, you know, a success by six. Oh, we want your children in preschool because then they're going to be better in grammar school and high school and college, and they're going to be a success in life because you got them into preschool. No, this is really all about getting control of their minds early. They don't want them to pick up their ideas of their parents about God and family and country. They want to mold them. That's why they want to get them into preschools. But they can't tell the American people what this is all about. So they have to say, why, we're here to help you. And we want your child to succeed. But how do they want them to succeed? They want to destroy their individualism. They want to destroy their thought process and certainly their dedication to God. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, let me go back to the beginning, because I know where we left off last January when we were talking, and I was researching how Peter Drucker had influenced a very widely popular Christian man, and that is Rick Warren of the Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life. His books have been wildly popular bestsellers all over the country, and it's the hottest thing since sliced bread in Christianity for people to pick up his books and read them and get churches to jump on this program. Well, since January, my husband and I and another researcher published a monograph on the a preliminary topic that has to do with this purpose-driven church.
But isn't this really an effort to change not only the church here in America, but the church throughout the world?
Oh, yes. This is a global plan. In fact, as we speak, they are implementing a global plan. It's called the Global Peace Plan. That's part of Rick Warren's plan, is to take this worldwide, his model, and implement it worldwide. He calls it the Global Peace Plan, and peace is an acronym.
But of course, isn't this really an idea more of transformation of individuals through this process?
Yes, it is, but it's also a transformation of society. First, you remember in education reform how important it was to change a child's opinions, beliefs, values, attitudes, and behaviors. Well, that's what the purpose-driven life is all about. They want to transform how you think, how you act as a Christian, your doctrine, and your way of running a church. And that's key to the whole thing. The churches that get onto this program change how they basically operate. Now, they're being told that the reason they do this is because it's going to facilitate the end times, taking the gospel to the whole earth. But that isn't what's really happening. It really brings the church into alignment with all of the global United Nations transformative societal change. And this is all very well documented in the latest monograph, which we've just published recently.
Now, is it up on the web? How can people get copies of it? I have one, but how can people get copies if they really want to get your information and the documentation?
Okay, they can call this telephone number, 908-638-6504. Or they can write to Discernment Ministries, which is distributing this. And this only costs $3.50. It's just a small donation to get this. It's 48 pages long. It has 71 footnotes, and we encourage everyone to check out everything we're saying because it's highly documented. But Discernment Ministries is P.O. Box 254 in High Bridge, that's two words, High Bridge, New Jersey, 08829. And this is also at the website of Discernment Ministries, which is very simply discernment-ministries.com. So anybody can check out what I'm saying. I'm sure it sounds really odd to somebody who hadn't heard what we had talked about earlier in January, because to make statements like this is pretty wild.
All right, fine. Well, then what sort of documentation is there? Have they actually said that they mean to transform society?
Yes, actually they have, which is really helpful when you're researching something like this to have statements made that blatantly.
But of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if Christianity could transform society?
Yes, and that is not what they're talking about. I mean, if we were talking about people repenting, people changing their life, going from their sinful way of life and falling on their face before God and saying, I repent, I change, I'm not going to beat my wife anymore, I'm not going to commit adultery anymore, I'm not going to have abortions anymore. We'd all be jumping up and down rejoicing. But this isn't what this message is about.
Well, of course, isn't one of the things to not to convict people of being sinners? Do they talk about people being sinners and need repentance and need, of course, to accept the offer of salvation? Is that the stress of this ministry?
No, I wish I could say it is. In fact, I just got a quote just in the last few weeks from some friends in South Africa. And Bruce Wilkinson, who's closely associated with Rick Warren, they're both working on a plan to transform the continent of Africa, a very brazenly bold assertion. And Bruce Wilkinson, this is the prayer of Jabez, man, he says, we have promoted an unbiblical message that becoming born again is the answer to everything. It's not. It changes your eternity, but it doesn't change your sexual behavior, for instance.
Okay.
Can you imagine that?
All right, well, go ahead.
This was published in Joy Magazine, the South Africa version. So in other words, we're not going to tell people to change their sexual behavior. You don't have to do that to be saved. You can continue on in your sin. Well, these men are going to Africa claiming that they're going to solve the AIDS crisis. Well, I don't know of any other way to solve the AIDS crisis than to teach people to stop fornicating and committing adultery. So I'm very alarmed by this, as are the South Africans who sent this to me. So yes, we have a very watered-down, modern-day, pop gospel message that doesn't contain the hard truth, the narrow way, the path of repentance. And it's very difficult to see this in the modern church, but that's an essential part of the church structure that they're putting into place.
And, of course, this is spreading from one end of our nation to the other. It's the most rapidly growing phenomenon, and it has the backing of so many good people, and many of them are my friends, and yet they seem to be climbing on the back bandwagon because it's bringing so many people in, but their lives are not being transformed. They may think that they are Christians, but as it says in the Bible, there's a broad way, and it leads to destruction. There's a very narrow way, and few will find it. And that, of course, leads to eternal redemption.
That's right. When they say the word transformation, they mean it more in the sense that you and I have researched it for years, that in the education reform, the societal reform sense, they mean transforming society, external things, not your heart and not your life before God. So there's been a number of people, Barrett Chose, the author, for example, there's a number of people who have articles posted on the internet who have dealt with the and examined the books in detail and have noticed this trend towards away from anything that might be seen as fundamentalist or traditional in Christianity. This is a reinvented Christianity.
All right, fine, but the average Christian who's getting brought into this doesn't understand that they're changing both the message and the music of the church, that all music comes from God. I don't believe it does. I believe some of it is frankly satanic, and yet, of course, they're using the beat, they're using the noise, they're using the emotional response to that music to condition people. If you can accept that, you can accept the new message which is coming out. If you're out in the listening audience, you need to get our 4-tape set on musical madness. You need to get the book Crisis in Christian Music. You need to get our video on Diapracts in the Church for our 4-tape set on the Christian growth movement. Christianity is under attack today. America is under attack today. And you better understand what's coming down the line. And you'll certainly want to get copies of our interviews with Sarah Leslie to see how diabolical this is under the mask of Christianity. Of course, they're selling an entirely new type of Christianity, one that does not call for repentance. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips
that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, like...
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered what was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox. French exhibit greater cardiovascular despite their fatty diet because of the red. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for dentists to safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long with dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and of course we can't make any medical claims for them. We can only tell you that a lot of the people who use them really love the products. They feel that they've helped them as far as rashes and itching and certainly acne. Some people tell us it helps their acne. All we can do is tell you what people have said, but we can't tell you that this is going to help you. I know my wife uses the neutralizing, which is very heartening. We know other people use it, says it helps their lower gastrointestinal tract. All we can do is tell you that there's a soap, moisturizing soap, there is a gel, and there's a lotion, and well, maybe you ought to try them and see if they'll help you. I know I've used the moisturizing soap for, and I wouldn't be without it, and I use the gel on a regular basis. Well, I'll tell you what, I think the products are great, and we encourage you to call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a Miracle 2. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Sarah Leslie, and we're talking about this idea of transforming the world, and that's really what this is all about. They're going to transform Africa, they're going to transform Australia and New Zealand and Europe, and they're going to transform America. But what are they going to transform it into? What they're going to do away with individualism and individual Bible study. And certainly, if you read the Purpose-Driven Church, you've got 15 different translations of the Bible. Which one's the Word of God? Well, maybe there really isn't any Word of God because there are all these different translations. So really, none of them can be the Word of God because many times they're entirely different. But that really doesn't matter because it's how you feel about it rather than what God has said. And that seems to be increasingly the move today. So we pick up the story there from Sarah.
You certainly hit that on the head. It's important for your listeners to realize that this Peter Drucker, this business guru who was so influenced by the German mystics of the 1800s, has been the mentor, openly acknowledged mentor, of Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. So if you would go on the internet, for example, and type in the Google search engine, Rick Warren, and Peter Drucker. All sorts of examples would come up as positive links between these two men. They've been closely associated for over 20 years. So Rick Warren, when he wrote these books, was basically taking Peter Drucker's ideas about business management and taking it to the church, transforming your church. Now, that's pretty radical when you think about it, because we're not widgets. We're human beings.
But, of course, they really feel that they can change you and change your attitudes and beliefs, don't they?
Actually, they do.
And can't they actually change the church? And certainly, if anybody doesn't go along with it, don't they have a plan, program, to force people out of the church who don't disagree? Will they tolerate dissent to their program?
Actually, no, they don't. I've heard many, many stories of people who have been ushered out of these churches who don't want to go along with the new program. And they have a word for that. Peter Drucker calls it abandonment. And he says if you have a program that doesn't work, or people in your church that don't go along with this plan, this transformation, you just drop them. You let them get out the door. And you can kick them out, or you can let them walk out. But you don't want those people, because they're going to hold back the transformation.
And so they just want people who are gullible enough or pliable enough to go along with it. Don't they call them blessed subtractions? Have you heard that term?
No, but I have heard the term laggard. And that term is actually a part of a number of Christian leaders' writings, that we are the laggards, those of us that have fundamentalist beliefs. We're holding back the transformation of the church. We're holding back the body of Christ on earth from achieving its maximum potential. And so we're in the way. Problem for them, because they want to achieve this radical transformation of the church. They believe in the same things that we've seen in the New Age movement. Unity, consensus, finding common ground. And that's the manner in which they operate. So yes, we're a problem.
And, of course, don't they then try to get people into sort of an experiential type of Christianity rather than based upon God's Word?
Yes, in fact, that would parallel precisely what we saw in education reform. The emphasis here is on changing your attitudes, beliefs, opinions, values, and your behaviors. And it's very much based on affective education, transforming the way you feel, the way... It's not based on the solid rock of the Word of God. It's not based on solid biblical teaching, where you would sit under a pastor who would do expository teaching on the Word of God. Instead, you're going to get a text from a guy wearing shorts and sandals on the altar playing some kind of modern music. It's some sort of touchy-feely, you go away feeling real good, but you haven't gotten any meat. In fact, you'd be lucky if you got the gospel.
In fact, isn't there a lot of emphasis, at least in certain of the services, to being more casual, not to be wearing necessarily a suit or a tie, but
right,
which sort of shows your honor for God, but to be for the minister to be more like the people, wearing loafers and a sweatshirt, or pardon me, a sports shirt. And so we're not necessarily standing in awe of God or worshiping God, but God is, well, he's more of our buddy, and we want to acknowledge him, but he's certainly not the God who created the heavens and the earth and the universe. He's simply sort of a friend that we can rely upon any time, because he loves everybody, and certainly there's never any wrath or anger or punishment for sin. Some people even question whether sin is really a factor. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Sarah and get her ideas on what we're talking about. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually
put through during the time of the radio. I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when we, I want to mention that we carry the Big Berkey water filters, and we carry certainly the Big Berkey, which is made out of stainless steel, has ceramic filters packed with activated carbon, does a wonderful job of taking out the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria and cleaning up the flavor of the water. And so if you were in a situation where you just didn't know whether the water was good or not, rather than having to boil it, why, you can run it through here, and you certainly would be potable water at the other end. This is what missionaries have used for years. The Big Berkey filters 2 gallons at a time, about 24 gallons a day, and you can get it for $279 plus shipping. Unfortunately, however, it's not available in either California or Iowa, but we do have the Berkey Light filter, and this is made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water levels. It has the black Berkey filters. They do an even better job of cleaning up the water than the traditional Big Berkey filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 years. Now, whether you have the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, and you have fluoride in your water, you want to get that out because it's a poison that attacks your fertility, your endocrine glands, your bones, produces cancer, has an effect on your brain, and that's just a few of the things. And if you doubt that, you need to get our 4 tape set on water fluoridation. And if they're lying to us about water fluoridation, what else are they lying to us about? Get the facts. We have all the scientific studies. We'll be glad to tell you where you can get the information and verify it. The government knows. They just don't want you to know. They want a more pliable society. So you can get special post filters used with either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. Takes out fluoride, lead, and arsenic, MTBE. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And get one of these. They're a great thing to have on hand right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Sarah Leslie, and she's telling us about her research on Peter Drucker. Go ahead, Sarah, tell our listeners more about what you've uncovered about this man who came to America with these mystical ideas to transform our societies, first the corporate society, and then the educational movement, and now, of course, the Christian Church. One man is transforming America, and most people have no idea what's going on.
That's true. The thing that concerned us the most was that Peter Drucker has a very radical view of the nature of man. He views man as an economic entity, and he believes that each one of us possesses something called knowledge capital. Now, if you recall, during education reform, we all discovered that the word human capital, referring to our children, had been placed in these reform documents. As all of the states came up with their state reform plan, we'd often find that children were called human capital. And they were described in economic terms. How much training would they receive in school that would make them valuable to the state and to our society? Well, Peter Drucker is the one who concocted this idea about the economic nature of man. And he believes that each one of us has a value to society. And I use that term, society, with a capital S, because he really means state. And that this value will be placed on us. And that we will have this value is portable. It goes with us wherever we go. And if we get retrained, our knowledge capital will increase. And if something happens to us, like let's say we get handicapped, or we get disabled, or we start aging, and we're not increasing in our value. We begin to decrease in our value. We're no longer an asset to society. Well, these very values, these same ideas, are being embedded in the purpose-driven church model. In fact, Peter Drucker has openly bragged in a number of places on the internet that the knowledge workers, those are the people who are fairly highly trained, often very well-to-do, your brain surgeons, the people making a lot of money, that these purpose-driven churches should target. The mega churches should situate themselves in key counties and key locations, key suburbs where there's a whole big glut of these knowledge workers. And they'll start coming to your church, and they're driven by whatever the economic value of everything. And these people then will be used as change agents to transform the church and to take it into this purpose-driven model and to transform society. Well, of course, that immediately raises some questions to anybody with common sense. And that is, what about those people that don't possess? And you and I know people that for one reason or another, disability, handicap, age, illness, infirmity of some kind, they don't have what we would call knowledge capital. Well, these people are a drain on the system. And the whole purpose-driven church model is currently being structured in such a way that once you sign on the bottom line and join one of these churches, there are certain requirements and obligations that you will begin to have to fulfill. And that's where this emphasis on results. Another name for this could be called the results-driven church.
And don't you, when you get into the church, then you have to actually sign some sort of a contract with them. You're not adjoining. You're signing a contract. You're making a pledge to follow through with their program. And yet the average individual really doesn't understand what their program's really all about.
No, they don't. In fact, it's one of those bait-and-switch things. I hate to use that term, but I seriously believe that's what it is after looking at it. Because we're beginning to see and hear reports from around the country where people who sign on that bottom line, now they're being told they have to tithe 10% of their income to the church. Now they're being told they have to give 5 hours a week of community service. And the way Peter Drucker has set up community service in the social sector is that, here's an example. Your church would give you a list of 10 possible acts of charity or ministry you could do. And you have to pick from that list. Now, if you're a stay-at-home mom who has nursing babies, little toddlers, or let's say you take care of your elderly parents, or maybe you spend a number of hours a week running errands for sick friends or driving your aging mother to the doctor for her appointments, those things don't count. Those aren't on the list of approved church-sanctioned activities that you have to fulfill your contract with. This is very bad. What they will tell you is, well, if you've got little kids, you take them to the church daycare center. If you've got an elderly mom, take her to the church elder care center. But you have to still go do your act of community service, or you have to go do a short-term mission trip overseas or working in one of these faith-based soup kitchens somewhere. So it starts getting regimented. You don't know that when you sign on. That's not what you're being told. But you can go out to the various purpose-driven websites that are out there, and you can check out and see that Rick Warren's church has already been at the forefront of the faith-based initiative, working hand-in-hand with the government to create the mandatory community service that we've all seen coming down the pike for many years.
All right, fine. And of course, then this is going to work very closely with the government, but the whole idea is the transforming of the individual as the key to transforming society, as the key to transforming nations, as the key to transforming the world. That's really an amazing undertaking. But what does it have to do with Christianity?
Well, actually, they've concocted a number of new doctrines. Some of the men who are working on this very same church model, they may call it other things, but some of them, especially a number of them that come out of Fuller Theological Seminary, have come up with these doctrines that say Christ cannot come back to earth until the body of Christ, the bride, perfects herself on earth. And they put this pressure on people. They say we have to fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetime. And we have to do these things because the church in the last 2,000 years was ineffective. They'll actually use that term, ineffective. And that we have to transform the church to this new model so we will have an effective church. And, of course, the name of the game is numbers. And it operates very much like Amway. It's network marketing. And they use exceptionally sophisticated marketing devices where they go out and they locate the change agents in a church community, and they get these people on board, and then these people rope in their friends, and it's network marketing. Well, and numbers is the name of the game.
Well, let's go to Fred, who's calling here from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question?
Yes, I had a question. I wonder if Peter Drucker, he not only runs under Hegel's concept, does he have anything to do with Machiavelli's concepts too?
Well, do you have any thoughts on that, sir?
I honestly don't know. Now, that would be a really interesting one to pursue. I have not researched that.
I really don't think. I think that the two are quite separate. But anyway, thanks for calling, Fred.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Do you have a question, Roger? Because I don't want to get off the track.
Thanks. Paying close enough attention, I presumably Drucker just refers to social institutions and not the church per se, and that it was adopted...
No.
No, actually, he intended to. He openly began writing about it, even as early as the 1930s.
Yeah, was he at least ostensibly a Christian himself?
No. In fact, he has a very questionable Christian testimony. And once you begin reading his writings, and he's been a very prolific writer. I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of books that he's written, as well as articles for the last... Well, he's 94 years old. Once you start digging into that, he will say, so-and-so influenced me. And so you can go back and read, well, who is so-and-so? And you pretty much discover that the people who influenced him were part of the German elite. At the turn of the last century, a lot of the same men who gave rise to what we saw in Nazi Germany, the same ideas, the same views of man as an evolutionary being. He very much embraces the evolution, social Darwinism, and the evolutionary view of man, that we are evolving to a cosmic whole.
All right. Well, the cosmic whole has certainly a New Age connotation.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Roger. And I think that these are all pointed questions, and we should ask, where are we going? I know that certain people like John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, has written a book called Does Truth Matter? And he is frightened to death and totally opposed to what's happening to the church today. And as he points out, they tell us in the scripture that most people are going to get into this wide, broad, easy path. The path to true Christian salvation is a very narrow path, and very few will follow it. Are we seeing the great apostasy that is prophesied for the latter days taking place all across America, all across the world today?
You know, I have been studying the marketing techniques that these men are using, and a lot of these techniques have become exceptionally sophisticated, that Dean Gocher speaks about, for example. And it's so subtle and so deceptive that I believe a lot of innocent people can walk into one of these group sessions and be totally buffaloed, totally blown away by the techniques that are being used on them to transform their way of thinking. And they may come away without any discernment whatsoever that they've just been had. And that's easy to have happen. Much with the Holy Spirit, I think, could be fooled.
Well, let's go to Dale, who's calling here. Dale, does he have a quick question?
I have a very quick comment and a question relating to the statement that the guest had just made. But comment, Peter Drucker, in July 9th, 2002, won the presidential Medal of Freedom.
All right, fine.
And anything about the elitist concepts that's going on with the globalist movement. Also, how do we, what's the suggestion as far as providing people with information that are involved with this 40-day, especially pastors that are taking a look at it. I'll take your answer off here. Thank you.
All right. To finally have a comment on that, what would you say, Sarah?
That's a good question. That's very hard. Some people are easily persuaded simply by going through the scriptures with them in Rick Warren's book. I know Barrett Chose and some other people have written about how far-fetched this is from traditional biblical understanding. The quotes that are paraphrased, that are taken out of context, simply the biblical, approaching them from a biblical perspective. A lot of people can be persuaded that way. Other people, maybe they need to read material. When we publish this monograph, we put in 71 footnotes, which is a huge number, and we tell people, please, our documentation, please go read the things that we tell you. You know, if you don't believe us, go read the original source that we're quoting, because a lot of times it's worse than what we say. And then we also publish a bibliography at the end where people can go get more information. And I do know people all over the country are handing this to their pastor saying, please read this before you go any further. You don't know what you're getting into.
All right. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. And my wife says the title of MacArthur's book is Hard to Believe. Hard to Believe. In fact, I read that book, and it really is an excellent one. But anyway, let's go to, Dr. MacArthur's book. Let's go to Mike calling. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question?
A couple questions. I wanted to ask about the NGO status of at least some of these major churches. I know Willow Creek is an NGO affiliate of the United Nations, and I wondered if Rick Warren's Saddleback Church is also.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I'd sure like to know.
In other words, by NGO for our listeners would be non-governmental organizations, but they're accepted as non-governmental organizations, but having tremendous influence on society, and so they have special status, not only within society, but at the United Nations. Anything else?
You have to bear in mind that these churches are also operations under the state, as such.
All right.
Tools or things that the state likes to use to manipulate people.
Well, that's why, of course, many ministers will not speak out on public affairs issues, because they are creatures of the state, and as such, they can lose their tax-exempt status, which sometimes is more important than speaking out for the truth. Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Well, one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Peter Drucker's affiliation with the Vienna Council. Does your guest know anything about that?
Yes. If you can go to Peter Drucker's official website, which is simply peterdrucker.at, you will find that he refers back to the Vienna Circle as being very influential in his youth as he was growing up.
Now, what is the Vienna Circle for our listeners and for your host?
Okay, the Vienna Circle. That takes a little bit of research to figure that one out, I must tell you. The Vienna Circle is a group of elite social scientists and psychiatrists. Sigmund Freud would be the name that you would most likely recognize right away from that group of people. Peter Drucker grew up in Austria, and the Vienna Circle was this elite group of intellectuals who began taking the ideas that arose out of 1800s Germany, from Hegel on, and began applying them to the transformation of man on the planet. They began to reinvent social structures and institutions to create this utopia in their mind. I call it a totalitarian state. But they began to invent new ways of looking and doing and thinking, and the Vienna Circle was incredibly influential in Peter Drucker's early life. And if you start at that website, peterdrucker.at, and just do a search of some of the names that he mentions of people that influenced him, suddenly you'll see, wow, look where this man came from. Look who gave him his ideas. And you'll see that they did not come from a Christian source.
All right, fine. Thanks so much for calling, Michael. Mike, excellent question. And I think it's important that people understand who Hegel was. He was the philosopher who influenced another man who changed the world. His name was Karl Marx. In fact, people who look upon communism and study it believe it has to do with Hegelian concepts. Hegel and gave the dialectics, and then there was the materialism, and this dialectic materialism is the foundation of the communist ideology. But it's really all about transformation of the individual. And I really wonder whether we want to be following in our churches the teachings of a man who goes back to Hegel and his ideas of how we will transform society, because that has nothing to do with the God that I worship. It has to do with the dark side, because Karl Marx was a Satanist, and we have a book, Marx and Satan. You really ought to read that to understand what we are. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here at Radio Liberty.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, bye-bye. Okay, fine. And again, if you want to get that material from Sarah, why, of course, you can give her a call at 908-638-6504. That's Sarah Leslie, 908-638-6504.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 and the went down off the eastern coast? Your reading book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention that there is going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held over in the Santa Clara area. Somebody said it's at the Marriott Hotel over there. But anyway, if you want more details, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website. That's conspiracycon.com. Conspiracycon.com. I just talked to Mark Phillips. He and Kathy O'Brien are going to be there. Joyce Riley is going to be there. I hope Rodney Stitch, who's been ill, but I hope he's going to be able to make it. Harris Kirkschmidt is going to be there. We've had other speakers on all sorts of other issues. Chemtrails are going to be there speaking. I'm going to be there, but I'm not going to be speaking, but I will have a booth. And I think you'll find it fascinating. Now you're going to find some people that who we would disagree with as Christians, but I think you need to understand that there really is a satanic movement in the world, and you're going to hear some people that have some really coming from the dark side, but you need to understand what we're up against. The majority of the speakers are excellent. They're coming from a Christian perspective, far better than it was last time when I was in a definite minority when I was a speaker at this conference. But I think there's so much good that will come out of it, and you need to understand what we're really up against, because the church is under attack today. Our nation is under attack today. Christianity is under attack today. And you better understand what's going on and join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. Again, the number to call, 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website, which is conspiracycon.com, and that's going to be all day Saturday and all day Sunday. I think it'll be a fascinating opportunity. I hope to see you there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out all across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like, 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to get it for you. I just want to mention briefly, although we did mention during the break, but there will be a conspiracy conference held in the Santa Clara area and close to where I am, California. It's going to be this weekend, the 29th and 30th. That's the conspiracy conference. If you want to know more about it, call 209-832-0999. And Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien, Joyce Riley, Eric Hupschmidt, Rodney Stitz, and a number of other of our regular guests will be at the conference, and I hope to see you there. I will have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. And then we want to mention, if you really want to understand the church growth movement and its New Age occult origin, why the video is diapraxis in the church, you need to understand what's going on. This is an excellent production, and of course we've recommended, and we hope that you will give it to your minister, that you'll give it to others. We have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement, and we have literature we send out, and I'm going to see if I can't get permission to send Sarah Leslie's material and her monograph out along with our material, so that you will have the information you need to be effective in this battle. As far as the music is concerned, Vic Warren says, don't criticize mere music. All music is made by God. There's no such thing as Christian music, only Christian lyrics. And I said, there are Christian musics, and then there's the devil's music. And we see its effect on our children as they go to these rave programs, and that same church has infiltrated the church. You need to get our 4-tape set on the musical madness. You need to get our book, The Crisis in Christian Music. That's A Crisis in Christian Music by Dr. Jack Wheaton. You need to understand that Christianity is under attack today. We have a great video. It's called Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. Very professionally done story of the wars of the last century, the prophecies as to the end times, and of course the plan. The very real plan for World War III, which we are already in. Then we have the video, Iraq, The Untold Story. And if you haven't seen it, you need to get it. And you need to get the syllabus that goes with it that documents the fact that the Iraq War had nothing to do with September 11th. It was planned long ahead of that. They had to have an excuse to get us into a war. On September 10th, 2001, how many Americans wanted to go to war? On September 12th, how many Americans were willing to go to war and send somebody else's boys overseas to die fighting in this war that has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction and nothing to do with the fact that Saddam Hussein was a wicked man? And if you want the documentation, you'll find it in the video and in the syllabus entitled Iraq, The Untold Story, because we will take the information from their website where they will tell you they were planning this long ahead of time. And I'm speaking of the Project for the New American Century, and that is newamericancentury.org if you want to go to their website. But better still, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And get the Iraq, The Untold Story video and the syllabus. And then, of course, you have my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which you should get. We have my other book that aids the unnecessary epidemic, and then the book we've kept in print for many years, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, Professor Kara Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where this elite college professor taught at Princeton and Harvard and then at Georgetown University talks about the secret society that rules America today. And believe me, John Kerry belongs to it. George Bush has surrounded himself with people from the Council on Foreign Relations, and Professor Quigley tells where this organization came from. It came from a secret society, and it's operating today. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, remember to pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.